Welcome back to Raw Thoughts with Mackenzie Tiggs. I just want to thank you once again for another week, another episode, another guest. I've had a lot of you reach out and I absolutely love that. So if you are liking it, if you are subscribing, send me a message, DM me, send me a text. That's what thrives me. So this week on Raw Thoughts, I have Hannah. I actually had somebody back out last minute, so thank you for coming on. We're continuing week after week, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm Hannah Curtis. I have a business, which we met last night at the Business and Bubbly event, which was a lot of fun, but I am a photographer with, I do mainly families and motherhood, newborn maternity, all the little children. I can't get enough of those little faces. They're just so sweet. So that's kind of my focus. And then I'm also a mom of three little ones, nine, almost six. He'll be six on Saturday and almost two. I married my high school sweetheart and, we adopted two children, and one was born in a pandemic through IVF.
You so, have a lot going on.
Yes, we kind of have a crazy way of creating our family, but it's perfect.
So you started your business. Mm-hmm. Did you always know it was going to be children or families or motherhood?
Well, I did weddings in the past. And they were fun, but, you know, I just love those babies. I just love the little ones. I actually worked in childcare for a really long time. So it's kind of like it makes more sense to just do that transition. And so I have more fun with the little ones. So I don't do weddings.
You know, you have to deal with those brides and bridezillas and then the family. And then
they're so gorgeous. But overall, I prefer my little ones, newborns. And I mean, maternity mamas are just so gorgeous.
That's awesome.
When they're pregnant. So, yeah.
They are. And adoption.
Adoption. Yeah.
Tell us more about adoption. I mean, that's so hard. The process of adoption. So speak on that to us.
It's crazy. So my husband and I got married in 2005, and we always knew we wanted children. But we didn't know it would be so challenging, right? Because, you know, when you're young, you just think, oh, yeah, we'll just get married, have kids, and move along. No, not for us. So we were like the only young people. We decided to try IVF first. So they originally started us with Clomid, and that turned into an ectopic, which meant both my tubes were blocked. So we removed a tube, and now I have just the one tube, and it's blocked. So from there, the IVF failed, the first IVF. And so while we were in the midst of starting my business and doing photography at the beginning, we decided that since that had failed, instead of doing that again, we're just going to go ahead and look into adoption. So we spoke with a New Beginning adoption agency here locally in Boise, and they're amazing. But, you know, it was like, that's a lot of money. So for us, being so young and just starting out in a career, we decided to go ahead and just do networking on our own. So we came across a website called Adoptimist.com, and I believe they were fairly new at the time as well. And so we put our profile out there, and we got contacted by a young couple. And before we knew it, we had a baby in our arms.
Wow.
Yeah, so they were in Maryland. So we flew out to Maryland and spent 2 weeks waiting on ICCP, which is the Interstate Compact. I don't have the right,
okay.
But basically the states are talking to each other to make sure everything's in line. And your lawyer's providing all the information to them and those types of things. So once that was done, in early October, we were allowed to bring her home. So we had this tiny little baby. And looking back, it was a really hard time between IVF and the adoption itself because I was working full time. But I was also doing a photography business. And then in addition to that, I was doing another full-time job of just constantly checking messages, updating profiles, nonstop, you know, online. So it was a lot. It was a lot. But it was crazy but good in the end.
So just for perspective-wise, How much really is, you know, the cost of doing it through Idaho versus, mm-hmm. you know, nationally? What are those cost differences?
So the way we did it was privately through lawyers. And so you still have to do your home study, which is where you fill out a bunch of paperwork. We like to joke that we're certified parents. but basically, they're just doing background checks and all those types of things. And so we did that through A New Beginning. And then in addition to that, we had to do have a lawyer. And then you pay your lawyer. So in the end, I believe it was about $15,000 for our first adoption. And I want to say it was like $27,000
wow.
for our second, which we did through the agency. And part of that was Mia was so young. She was about 3. And we just said, we cannot leave her. And I can't imagine taking her and going, okay, you have to stay outside the hospital while I go in. You know, that was just, so we decided to be local because we have lots of friends and family who could support us and watch her, and we could still be there at night with her. So in the end, it's like, but I mean, it depends on your state. It depends on lots of different factors, but I've heard they're upwards of $40,000.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, in our sense, we did not spend much.
Yeah.
But it's a lot, you know, for a young couple to be heading towards, you know, you're supposed to be buying houses and getting settled and saving up and whatnot. And we were putting all extra money into adoption.
So how fast did it happen from you guys putting your profile out there, somebody reaching out to you and say, hey, we would really love for you guys to be, mm-hmm. you know, the parents basically.
Yeah.
To then you guys flying to Maryland and like waiting for this baby.
We started the process in, I believe it was the spring. So we started in the spring and we talked to lots of different potential situations. But, you know, part of it was our home study and stuff. So we connected, it was a year. So we connected with them the next summer, so just over a year. And then she was born in September. Wow. So we ended up, I believe it was 7 weeks. So in August, we were told, yes, it's official. We choose you. So we were officially matched is what they call it. And then from there, it was I was at work and I got the call. I'm sure some people still remember me just frantically going, oh my gosh, we gotta go. So yeah, we left and sat at the hospital and waited for her to be born. So yeah, it was a unique experience for sure.
So with her adoption, is it an open adoption? Like, were you involved? Is it?
So we just basically said we're comfortable with whatever you're comfortable with. And so whatever level of openness is how we put it. And so they chose to have it closed and, you know, we're comfortable with that. Our son's is open. So we have two different situations, which is kind of neat and kind of fun just to have different and unique situations. But, you know, they're really young right now. And so we're still kind of navigating what's next and how do we kind of go through the process of she's got a closed adoption, he's got an open one, and, you know, kind of where all that comes together. So it'll kind of evolve, I think, as they each grow and ask questions and learn more about their adoptions.
How do you talk with them about being siblings? And mm-hmm. even though they're at a young age,
yeah,
you know, I'm sure there's differences that they can tell. I mean, kids are very visual people in any aspect.
Yep.
And just knowing like, hey, you know, we are your parents. We love you.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to explain to them that, like, you know, they did have other parents.
Yeah. So she was about, I want to say 3.5, 4. And she walked up to me one day and says, I'm adopted. And I was like, uh-huh. And she ran away. She's like, all right, whatever. Which was kind of surprising to me because, you know, you're always ready for those deep conversations. It was like, I'm adopted. Yes, you are. And part of that, I think, came from she's seeing other people with big bellies and, you know, hey, my siblings, I'm going to have a baby and all these things. And she didn't have that. She just didn't, you know, it's right. Like, we didn't have any pictures on the wall of when I was pregnant and stuff. So we never really hit it, but we didn't discuss it constantly either. Cause you know, it's an important piece of their history, but at the same time, we want to make sure that they know we love them very much. And you know, this is their family and they have lots and lots of friends and family that's extended as well. And we include birth parents in that. So that was kind of part of our thing is we just didn't, you know, we read some books, you know, there was a book, Tell Me Again About the Night I Was Born, and which is a fun one because, you know, you just kind of go through it and it's about adoption. So we basically just kind of have let them kind of lead the conversation. And then I want to say she was probably not again until she was seven or so. I mean, she'd tell people. She actually told some people at preschool and, you know, they're like, hey, I don't think she's like telling us the truth. I'm like, she is. Yes. Yes. Cause you wouldn't guess. She's, yeah. You know, blonde and curly hair. So for us, it was like, oh yes, yes. I'm sorry. Because that's a failure on my part. I didn't communicate that. So when they're talking family at school, yes, you should probably know that. Cause that's something they're going to bring up. And then as she was a little older, and now as she gets older, she's kind of asking more in-depth questions like, what did they look like? Or, you know, tell me again what state it was. Because for a while, their states are just kind of, you know,
they're
we
young,
live in Idaho.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just been kind of fun and interesting to kind of have more conversation. My favorite is when she always, when she was probably about 5 to 6, she'd look at me and go, oh, you're so lucky. You're just so lucky that they picked you. I was like, I am. I am so lucky.
How adorable.
Well, yeah, and their little faces and their little sweetness. So yeah, it was, you know, it's not exactly what I expected from motherhood, but it's, you have a real true appreciation for when someone picks you to be this child's mother and then they say, here you go. We entrust you to raise them and love them and all the things that parenting comes with. But I think it's like anything else that when you're struggling to get to kind of reach a goal or somewhere you want to be, whether that's in business or family or relationships, whatever, and then it finally happens and you just have this kind of like real intense appreciation for it because it you work so hard to get there.
Yeah.
So I think I have an appreciation I would not have had if motherhood came easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, how did that feel? Because you didn't have a belly. You didn't have that connection. You know, a lot of moms, that's part of the journey of becoming a mother.
Sure.
Is, you know, filling the move. And so how did you go from being husband and wife to then transitioning to now your parents?
So the best advice I think that we got from the agency was they told us, hey, you know, something to kill time while you're waiting is pack a bag. So we packed a bag and we had these little baby items and, you know, it's like, oh, what would we need? You know, because when you get the call, you got to go. There are stories I'm sure most people have heard where, you know, you get a call and you're like, get on a plane now. And it's like we weren't in that situation in the sense that we were matched with someone who was currently pregnant and we had a due date. But there are people who get calls and they're like, baby's born, come on over and get him. And so it's like, you have to be ready to hop on that plane. So that kind of helped kill the time. You know, we talked about it a lot and we, you know, we, I think one of the biggest things about infertility that people kind of forget is that once you lose a pregnancy, you kind of have to sit back and kind of go through the grieving process. And I think that's something that speaking with other people who either have gone through infertility or who have who don't know much about it, it's interesting because they always seem surprised when I say grieve each loss. I mean, you got to grieve it because if you work through that, then you're ready for the next step. So, you know, we took a while in between each loss. But yeah, it was very interesting to like have this baby handed to us and we're in the hospital and it's like, oh my gosh, you just love her so much. But then there's also that piece of you're waiting for papers to be signed and you're waiting for, you know, but it's like I couldn't not just snuggle her and love on her. Mm. You know, it was like, so we basically just enjoyed our time with her. And so we were very lucky. Everything worked out smooth as could be, and we got to spend 2 weeks in DC area.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So how many losses did you have before?
So we had one, two, and then if you count the IVF, three, because the failed IVF would be our third. And so, yeah, but I mean, I think a lot of people, most of us kind of say, oh yeah, maybe we had more than that, in the sense that you don't know, because some of them are so early you wouldn't have known. But yeah, three official losses, you know, but we were lucky that we had each other and could kind of work through that together. But it's interesting because a lot of people kind of forget that the husband's supposed to be the kind of the rock, the pillar, the person who's supporting the woman because she's physically going through it and emotionally. But, you know, he's got a loss too. And so it was interesting to kind of do a little mind shift there and focus more on, yeah, we have to heal as a couple, not just me physically and emotionally, because he's as well dealing with some emotional stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he's invested in it just as much as you.
Yeah.
You just have an addition of the physical part as well.
Which I must say, adopting, that is so nice to not have the physical part. You just get to love on those babies and there's no healing. It's awesome.
That is nice. Yeah. It seems like you have such a positive outlook when it's such a, you know, I would say burdensome or negative situation, or, you know, very traumatic situation for some people, of like, hey, we're going to try again and we're going to try again. And then you had a loss. And then, you know, some people have one loss and it breaks them down. How did you emotionally keep yourself positive of like, yes, we just lost one, we grieved, but we're going to try again?
So I think part of it is I'm typically a positive person, which I think that helps. But on the other hand, I think it's grieving. It's going through the process of saying, this is where we thought we'd be, this is where we are, and what is our next step? What do we want to do next? You know, I mean, before we did IVF, I was like, I'm out, let's just adopt. And he was like, no, it's really important to me, I want to try this. And so we did. And once it failed, it's like a lot of people go through IVF over and over.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I don't need it. I don't need to do that for, because, you know, hand me a baby and I'm happy as can be. So adoption was the next step. But it took a while. We had to have lots of conversations about it. But I think having a solid marriage helps with that too. So we didn't end up ever going to counseling, but if we needed to, I'm all for it. You know, I'm like, that's an important piece, because having that solid marriage when you're dealing with all the ups and downs of, I mean, we all joke about how pregnancy alone makes people emotional, and, you know, we get angry and all these things, all the hormones, and then you throw in the losses, and then, yeah, now we're excited, but you don't want to be overly excited, and then, yes, but you want to celebrate, but, you know, on all the back and forth. And so yeah, solid marriage, I think, is a big piece of that.
And you guys were high school sweethearts too.
Yeah, yeah.
How, I mean, you don't hear that very often. We were like high school sweethearts and we went through all this shit basically. And then now we're still together. And
yeah. Well, I think the biggest piece is growing together and knowing, like, if you need help, get help. If you need to, you know, sit down and say, oh gosh, we are struggling with this piece, let's adjust and let's take this, and really listening to each other. You know, I mean, we've had our ups and downs in our marriage, but we're going to be, let's see here. We got married in 2005. So what does that put us, 17 years this June?
Wow.
I'm like, oh gosh. It's a long time. We're having our 20-year high school reunion this summer.
Oh my gosh. I would have never guessed that. Mind you, I met you last night.
I know, right? But yeah, 20 years, I was like, holy cow. That makes you feel old.
Wow.
But it's good stuff.
How awesome for you guys to, you know, have that relationship, stable relationship, solid relationship, move into all of these, you know, ups and downs with life, and still continue to look forward. Say, yes, this has happened to me. Yes, this is part of our story. But we can't, you know, sulk in that. We have to continue to the next step, like you've talked about.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of one of the things, like, with IVF. We did our IVF with our youngest in 2019. And it's like you go from IVF, and it's like then you hit 2020. And it's like, oh, this is so exciting. We're finally in the year he's going to be born. And then you get to March, and we all know March 2020 was just basically a shit show. Like, so everything shut down, and then it's like, oh, the stress level went straight up, and it's like, this is the time you're supposed to be celebrating. It's like, you're almost there. You're going to meet this baby, and it's like, don't go out at all. Hide. Make sure that our daughter's doing school. We're skipping preschool altogether for the middle one. We're just like shifting and pivoting everything we're doing. It's like basically he was the only one to go out, leave the house. We would walk around the neighborhood and there was an empty parking lot. We'd go ride bikes in, but I was like, no, because I was terrified he wouldn't get to come to the hospital.
Yeah.
Like, we cannot get this. So it was like, I'm sure many people experienced similar things where it was like, no, no, we cannot get this.
Yeah.
So after he was born, it was such a relief. But like you were saying, kind of like shifting and adjusting how you feel about things, because you have an expectation. You're going to do a baby shower, and instead it was on Zoom. And you're going to do, you're going to have this new baby, and everyone's going to be excited to meet the new baby. Nobody came to meet the new baby except for my mom, and then my dad and stepmom came later. But it's like, I mean, you can't, right? Nobody's traveling. Nobody's doing it. So it's like all this excitement is just kind of like shifted. And it's like, oh, we're like on high stress instead. And then once he's born, it's like, okay, this is so much better. He's here. We can relax a little bit, but still nobody gets sick. So it's interesting because we have adoption one way, adoption here with a new beginning, with the agency, and then IVF. We were in California, so we chose to do IVF because their state laws are different than for adoption than Idaho's. And so for us, it was like, yeah, that's probably a better option. So we're like, we're going to go ahead and try it. And, he's our little miracle baby because we had two eggs, one fertilized, which meant we had one embryo, and now he's a crazy pandemic baby. Wild and crazy, running and jumping and playing on everything. So,
yeah. And that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot of emotional toll going through your adoptions, you're having those, you know, taking care of those kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then now the pandemic has hit and you're like you said, you want to stay safe, not only for you, but your kids and your newborn.
Yeah.
And like, if you talk about motherhood and like all of the things thrown your way of hardship, like you have had a lot of those.
Right. You know, and then just keep doing business in between, right?
Yeah. Like keep living your life. Like that's not the only thing you're doing.
Right. And we were in California at the time. So with him working remote, we decided we're going to come back here. And then he got a new job that's remote. So we're like, fine, we'll just stay.
Wow.
So yeah, to be around friends and family is nice. It's nice to have that community. We had a great community in California, but it's just different when it's not your family, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So all your family's here locally then?
A big chunk, yes. A big chunk of them. Yes, we've got some in Minnesota too, but yeah, most of them are here.
And with your kids, I mean, I couldn't even believe, like, they're probably so thrilled to have you and your kids and everything that you have endured.
Yes, we're happy to be back. So it's been good. But it's been kind of a shift to like, oh, now that we're here, we have to, you know, let's start doing business again and let's start, you know, getting back into softball and hockey and diving and all the activities. So yeah, it's good stuff. But it's nice to know that we're like kind of past the adoption and IVF, and now we're just going to enjoy our family a little bit.
That's awesome. What was kind of your biggest, you had an expectation and then it fell from that? Like how did you shift around that? Or
you kind of expect that you're just going to get pregnant and have a baby. And it's like, well, that didn't work. So it was like, now we have to shift our mindset and we're choosing IVF. And it's like, okay, that is huge cost, right? Because our insurance at the time didn't cover it. So it's like, okay, for these young people making normal wages, it's like, okay, what do we do? How do we shift this so that we can save the money and prepare for this? Because in general, when you're thinking pregnancy, you have insurance to help.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh gosh, we've got to completely change our mind there and go a whole different route. So then you go with that and then you start researching and saying, okay, so how does adoption work? Well, you've got foster care. You can do private. You can do agency. Okay, so how do you pick?
Right.
So then there's that piece. And then it's like, okay, so now that we're doing adoption and we've picked one, Now it's saving up money again for that because, again, no insurance. There's no help there. So it's like back to that piece. What are we doing to save up money in order to adjust our, you know, where most young couples are traveling, we're going, how are we going to afford being able to just have a baby,
right?
Not necessarily raise a baby.
Right.
So there's that. So that was an interesting shift. And then when we got to California, it was like, oh, what are we going to do? Like, how, we know we want one more child. How are we going to go ahead and figure out which way is best? So we're kind of back at square one where do you do IVF? Do you do adoption? And luckily this time insurance helped. So it was like, Good. Okay, we're finally in a place where we have insurance. So we did IVF. So here we are doing IVF and it's like, oh my gosh, is this even going to work? Because we have one shot. You know, a lot of people do IVF and they get multiple embryos and so they're freezing some. But I'm so grateful that we only had the one because we don't have to think about what to do with leftover embryos.
Yeah.
Right? Whether you donate them or, you know.
There's so many different options.
Hang on to them. Pay for them to be in the freezer forever. I don't know. So we didn't have to think about that, which was, we're very grateful for because he's our little miracle baby and he's the last one and we're good there. But, you know, again, then it was just another shift of, okay, so this worked. Now you're just kind of wondering, is it going to stay? Is this pregnancy going to stick? And then it's like you're getting further and further and further. And once the pandemic hit, I was like, oh, gosh. You're still kind of in that mindset of, oh, my gosh, is it actually working? You're like, you want him to kick every day. And you're constantly thinking, oh, my gosh, what are, like, is he good? Is he sleeping? What's he doing? But then the pandemic hit and it was like, oh gosh, I'm not even thinking about that anymore. So the third trimester, I was like, I'm not thinking about that anymore, which was a blessing. But then all I'm doing is thinking about everything pandemic related because, you know, in the news just had constant. So
there was a lot of fear. Mm-hmm. Yes, there was a lot of unknowns, a lot of question marks within.
So yeah, it was interesting, but it's just like, it was an odd time in the sense that we just had to shift so much. And it's like you have these expectations of what your third trimester is going to be and all the excitement of getting towards, you know, having this baby. And then it's like, oh, never mind. We're going to worry about this instead. So that was interesting. And I very quickly went, oh, gosh, I didn't think about, like, our hospital bag was not packed because I was just doing other things, you know. We're trying to get our daughter to do school and all those types of things. She was in first grade at the time, and so she wasn't quite reading on her own yet, so that we were still helping quite a bit. So that was an interesting piece of parenting over that little, few months. But
I could not even imagine that. I filled in as, like, the sub with my niece and nephews, and I had them in the wrong class on their Zoom.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
I was like, you know what? We're just not going to do school today. Like, it just
– you can do.
It's whatever you can do to get through.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of people are like – well, they did a little bit of homework today. That's better than nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, we were very fortunate to be in California and the nice weather.
Yeah.
You know, but even going to the beach was weird. We did, what was it? That, like, it's when the plankton, I think, is when they're like still at night, they're shining blue. So, and I forget what they're called. But anyway, we go one night and I was like, it just feels so weird to be at the beach.
Oh.
And we're all like, here we are, but everyone's trying to stay away from each other. Yeah. And it was strange.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I mean, besides your family, you know, was any of the mandates or any of the regulations that California was putting on during the pandemic and following that a reason why you guys moved up here?
So for us, it was more of like we wanted to be near family. We had already known that before everything. It's like, about to have our third baby and no one's gonna see him. I mean, family will visit and we'll visit, but it's not the same, right? Yeah. Than people being local and seeing them constantly. So it was like, that is an important piece for us to kind of feel like we need to move and be closer to family. So that was already on our mind before everything started. And then once everything started, it was like, well, yeah, everything that we love to do, whether that was Disney or SeaWorld or the beach, all those things just kind of shifted. And it was like, we can't do any of that stuff anymore. So, you know, riding bikes around the neighborhood is, you can only do it so much before you feel like we need more. So yeah, that was a good shift. When we came that summer of 2020, we had the opportunity to, you know, go to the beach, and we were out at Quinn's Pond, and we were out hiking and doing all these things. And that's just not something we could really do much of there, just because, yeah, they had some regulations. But, you know, I think things, we all just kind of have to work and do what we can to kind of help. It's a hard one. You know, it's hard because you want to do your best for the community, but you also need to do what's best for your kids and your family. And so yeah, it was a good shift, but it just felt so good to be kind of home and just near family. And you know, I mean, how many amazing spots are there to take photos here?
There's so many.
I mean, everyone wants the beach in California, but here it's like, oh my gosh, you can go to so many little parks, and it's like, look at that fabulous view of the mountains with the snow.
So how has your photography business evolved here in Idaho?
It's been good. So the fall was super busy, which was awesome. And then, of course, I love doing Santa minis in the winter because, I mean, how do you resist Santa life, right? Just their little faces light up and they're so excited. But it's been good, you know. It's been interesting because everything's kind of changed here. There's more studios to rent, which is fun. And then just getting kind of back into the community. And, I mean, everybody, there's so many more businesses, so many more women in business since we left. We were gone about, 3.5 years? And so it was interesting to kind of come back and kind of mesh into that and tell my clients, I'm back. And they were excited, which was fun. And it was nice to see. And kids have grown so much. So it's just fun to see each year they grow so much. You're like, oh, you've grown. And they're all looking at me like, I don't remember you. I'm like, that's okay. I'll just talk to your parents. We're just going to ooh and ah over you.
Oh, how fun. Yeah. So you had already done photography here, mm-hmm. then moved away, and then came back. So you had clients here. Mm-hmm. And then how did you, you know, still coming back and integrating? I mean, I think photographies are kind of like real estate agents. We always know one, you know, a friend or a friend of a friend, mm-hmm. you know, is doing it or getting into it. How did you really promote yourself and put yourself back out there of like, this is what I'm doing?
You know, isn't that a constant struggle? Right? You know, email, lots of sending out, you know, social media stuff, because everyone's watching your social media. So Facebook, Instagram, just sharing, I'm here, I'm back, I'm, you know, please think of me, share me when you think of someone who says I need a photographer. But, you know, oftentimes I get people asking about weddings, and I'm like, so sorry, I don't do that. But when you're into your family life, please call me. But I've been working on, so while I was in California, I went and did some education with a photographer called Anna Brandt. She's fabulous. But a piece of that is safety for newborns. So that to me was very important to kind of educate myself on. We want to make sure that we're being the safest possible with these tiny little newborns. And so that's kind of a piece that I'm trying best to share with people, that, you know, educating myself is so important, because I think it's something that we need to do lifelong, right?
Right.
Things change. There's new products. There's new ways of doing things. And so that's an important piece, is just to kind of make sure that I'm continuing to educate myself. But being safe with those little ones is very important. You can't stick a little one on a ladder and walk away. Right. You need to make sure you have an assistant there watching them. I don't put a baby on a ladder, but you know, you know what I mean? You know, they can't sit on a chair because they topple.
Yeah. Things like that. And sometimes, I mean, they are so like pliable that, you know, they can, even just swaddling them the wrong way could be, you know, mm-hmm. hurting them you know, and they're crying, and then you're like trying to figure out why they're crying.
Well, you don't want them to be too hot, and you don't want them to be too cold, and not, you know, everyone loves the froggy pose where their little feet are out and their little hands are under their chin, but unfortunately not all babies do that, and some babies just don't. They're not happy. And so is it best to say, let's reschedule for another day? Is it best to say, okay, let's just take a moment, feed baby, let's wrap them up and see what we can do to get them to sleep? Just kind of depends on the infant. But basically, it's like we got to make sure we're doing what's best for that baby.
Right.
Not making sure that we get the pose that you want.
Yeah.
You know.
Which I'm sure can be very hard for some women because they're like, oh, but they're so cute when they're like this. And it's like, well, maybe your baby doesn't do that.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's like their expectations, right, of you as a photographer are now taken down. And it's not your work. It's like, no, that's your baby. Just doesn't want to do that.
Babies just don't do that. And so part of it, too, is you know, working with toddlers. Lots of mamas are like, I want my baby to be looking at the camera and smiling. It's like, well, toddlers don't do that. They move, right? They do not want to sit on a white background and smile at us. And if you have balloons behind them, they want to play with the balloons. So,
right.
So you know, it's kind of prepping everybody for expectation beforehand and saying, we're going to work with your baby because toddlers, they can make any face and it's a darling face. Even when they're sad and crying, it's like they're so cute. So, you know, it's like, it's interesting too how many parents will say, you know, my kid has a skinny knee. Can you edit that out? And it's like, don't put a Band-Aid on it. And you're that's the phase of life that they're in. And it's okay. It's okay for them to have a little Band-Aid on, you know. I love just the, like, doing a picture before they lose teeth and then doing some right after because, oh, their smile changes so much when they lose those teeth. It's like, oh, my gosh. You just, so if anybody is thinking about it, make sure you get in with your photographer beforehand and get a good picture of your little one with those teeth before they fall out and then get a good picture after because it's so amazing how their smile has changed, you know.
Well, and like you mentioned, I mean, it's a part of their life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
to have a little, you know, I think everybody has this like perfect accent. Like I want everything to be perfect. And it's like, I'm sorry, but that's not life.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
like let's normalize the fact that everything is not perfect.
Right.
That, that photo of your child is adorable because their teeth are out.
Right.
You know,
they're
like their awkward
teeth,
point, like awkward times in life are honestly the most fun because it's like, you're not perfect.
Right.
You're just who you need to be.
Right. Well, and being out in the wind, oh my gosh, hair, like little hair flying in the wind is just like the best thing to me. And a kid just running around, their dress flying in the wind. It's just like that. They're always so happy when they're doing it. It's just like, that's so amazing and so special. And it's just a happy kid is just the best thing ever. Just letting them play.
You're the sweetest. You have the kindest heart.
It just makes me happy.
That's cool. And I'm glad that you have found something. I mean, when you were a kid, is photography what you always wanted to do? I mean, you have really found your passion. Like, you would love this.
Yeah.
And that's so hard to find in people.
Yeah. So I originally thought about teaching. I thought about pediatrician. Just childcare in general. So I thought about lots of different things, but, I didn't actually think about photography until I was, in 2006 and we were out and about and dad said, do you want to get a camera? I'm like, yeah. But I was always that kid who was like, hey, let's take a picture. Let's take a picture. And, you know, my parents were very kind and, you know, it was back in the days of film. So they developed all that film. And
wow.
It's like, you look at them now and go, ooh, that is not a great picture. But, you know, it's, yeah, they're blurred, but it was
but
a kid.
But that's also what got you to where you are now is
yeah.
that interest
yeah.
of like, yeah. hey, let's go do that. Like, it's not perfect. It's not, you know, the best photo, but now look at you. Look at the blurry photo to now. And that journey along the way is what makes you you.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's pretty special, you know, to kind of have parents that kind of, like, kind of let you just follow that and say, yeah, you know, go ahead. And it's like you look back and go, well, if I only realized earlier, when we were looking for our wedding photographer, she was like, hey, come assist me. So I went and assisted her a little bit, which was a fun little side thing. But at the same time, it's very quick. I was like, yeah, weddings aren't for me. I like the little ones. You know, I had more fun with the flower girl than I did with the wedding. But that was just so nice of her to be like, yeah, come check it out and see what you think. So it was awesome just to kind of get in there and see how other people are doing that. But, it's like any other business. Everyone does it their own way. Everyone does, you know, some people do digital. Some people only do products. Other people do both. It's, you know, it's an interesting thing to learn about everyone other photographers' processes, but also kind of what makes them unique. And everyone has a different editing style and different colors. I mean, mine's very true to color with a hint of warmth. I tend not to go too warm. Some people love to go extra warm, and that draws in certain people. And true to color draws in other people like cool. So it's just kind of, there's clients out there for everybody, and everyone has a different kind of draw to the look that they want. So
absolutely. It's funny because I had Sarah, who is a photographer, on, and we had talked about that as well. And you and her, though you're still doing photography, are so different in what you bring to the table as a photographer, right? Yeah. Like, she loves adults, she loves the seniors, where you are like, nope, I want those babies, you know? And it's the same way that you say that about weddings. Another photographer could say that about babies. You're like, nope, I don't want them. And it's
talk to lots of them,
Yeah, and it's, like you said, like, there's enough business out there. Figure out what you're really good at and promote that and stick with that.
Yeah. So you just kind of have to find that niche that works best for you. But you know, I mean, I'm happy to do a couple, but if you have a little one with you, it's even better for me. So a family's best for me. But yeah, I really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun, and it's something for me that keeps me busy outside of family life. Not that family life wouldn't be busy enough. But I love that I have the flexibility to say, I can do my schedule. Yes, this works today, but no, I need to be there for my child this day, so I'm not going to schedule anything that day. And having that flexibility is really special.
Especially with three little ones. I mean, you already had so much to deal with getting them into the world. Now you got to keep them in the world.
Yes, now we got to keep them busy. So we've got a son with hockey is his thing. Who knows what the baby will like. He loves a hockey stick right now. But and then we've got our daughter loves diving.
Oh, wow.
Which has been fun. So, you know, she did dance and she's done gymnastics and she did piano and ukulele and all the things. But she just is like, diving's the thing. So
wow. Yeah. How did you get your child into diving?
There was a camp. So one of our neighbors, our old neighbors, her daughter was a diver. And so she said, hey, there's a camp. And she just shared it on social media. And I said, oh, I wonder if Mia would want to do that. So I threw it out there and she's like, yes. So we go last summer. It's at the Y. We go last summer and we spend a week of her just trying diving. And she's like, this is it. I'm doing this.
Aww.
Like, okay, we're into diving. Who knew? I wouldn't have even thought about it.
I didn't even know that there was anything available like that here.
Yep, the YMCA. So,
wow. Yeah. So is there competitions that they do that?
Yeah, they did a little meet. So it was cute. Yeah, this past winter. It was awesome.
And does
loved
she
it.
Do like different dives? Like, what does that all entail?
Yeah, they teach them different dives. And so, you know, they start very simple. I think one is one called like the rainbow dive. She gives me all the technical terms and the names. Like, and I'm just like, okay, I'll see what I can remember. So I have lots of learning to do when it comes to diving because I do not dive. You know, figure skating I at least could figure out because it was like, oh, the boys are in hockey and my husband loves hockey. So he's doing hockey and you know, he knows how, like, what they're doing for skating. And it's like, okay, we can figure this out. And so diving, it's a whole new world. And so I'm going, okay, we'll see what we can do. But like the rainbow dive, you know, it's a bit like just a basic, you know, up and down, you know, and she's just loving it. Yeah. So her latest is she was on the couch the other night doing a flip. I'm like, okay, this is great. But I'm anxious to see it off the diving board. We'll see what happens. So, yeah, it's fun.
Oh my gosh, how cool. Yeah. That's super neat, actually. I mean, you hear about swim meets, you hear about, you know, all of that, but it's like diving, like, I only think of that in the Olympics, which is super cool
which
to
watch.
Which
they started somewhere, right?
Yeah. I just would have never known.
I know. I never would have thought of it. And then I asked her about swim team, and she's like, mm-mm. They just go back and forth in a pool. I'm not interested in that. Okay, we'll stick with diving. Because I'm like, you could do both. We're here anyway. Why not? Yeah. And she's like, mm-mm, nope.
Wow, how cool. And she's how old again?
She'll be 10 in September. So, yeah.
It's
headed
so
to double digits.
Wow. It's so fun to watch them, like, same thing, like, with you with the camera. You know, you're like, oh, wow, like, maybe that, you know, in another 20 years, that could be something that she's doing. And she didn't realize it as a kid or, you know, the evolution of us growing up and looking back at what we were really interested in as kids. And you're like, oh, wow, okay, that's me. That's who I am. Like, that's a part of
my,
like, my soul.
Well, it's fascinating because my husband's always loved hockey, right? So he did hockey in high school, and then now he does the men's league or whatever. And so he's, of course, got to tell the boys. Well, our son, our middle son, he started loving hockey. Like, he was 6 months old and wanted to carry a hockey stick around. He was, like, in love with that thing. So he would sit on the floor, and he'd be, like, hitting the puck, and he loves it. And so it's like he thought, he's going to outgrow this, right? No, not even close. He loves it. Aww. So, of course, things got a little slowed down because of the pandemic. But then now that he got to try it this year, he's gotten to do hockey. And he's just thrilled. And so I'm like, he's just born loving hockey. Like, this kid is, he was meant to have a dad that loves hockey, clearly. So he's just obsessed. And it's like, but then again, he is the one who's like, I want to try your camera. I want to try. I'm going, please don't drop it. Please don't drop it. But he's very interested. And my daughter, for the most part, is like, yeah, I'm good. No, don't. I'm not dressed. I'm like, we got to do something for Easter.
Yeah.
No. I don't want to dress up for that. No, just do the boys. I'm like, no, I need you to. So, you know, well, we'll work through it.
But. I was going to ask, actually, with having, you know, kiddos too, take photos of. Are you good at that? Or are they like, no, mom, we've had enough? Like, because sometimes to get kids in a family, you know, in just one photography session a year is like pulling teeth,
right?
You know,
yeah.
So and now you have the camera and the kids, and you're like, let me take pictures. And like, right? No, mom,
no. So the middle child loves it. The baby hates it. He doesn't stop for anything. So for about. What did we do, Valentine's Day? Yeah, Valentine's Day. I handed him a little sucker, I think it was, and was like, here, sit here. So he sat with them for a minute. But I have to remind her, if she just smiles, we'll get it done, right? Yeah. But her favorite is, like, if we go to Catherine Albertson and let her wander around and she can check out all the animals and all the things. And then I'm like, okay, pause just for a second. We'll take a picture. So, you know, it's just like any other family. You just have to work with the child and how they'll do things. But
yeah,
she's the least interested for sure.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
So funny how some girls absolutely, like, you're like, okay, I've taken enough photos of you. Like,
right.
I don't need you to pose anymore.
Yeah,
you know,
she's like, nope, I'm good.
Oh, that's too funny. Well, as we wrap up, how can people reach out to you if they, you know, either have questions about infertility or the adoption process? I think, you know, especially Idaho, I know a few of my friends that have gone through, you know, IVF and then that's failed and then they go to the adoption route and just have some friends that, you know, have done the adoption route. But I think there's so many questions.
Right? There's so many things. I felt like I was, like, on the internet and I'd look up one thing and then go, oh, my gosh, I have to, like, what does that mean? And then you're looking up another word and then you go down a rabbit hole. So that's where the full-time job that I referred to, it was, like, my third job because it was nonstop. I'm like, there's so much to learn about. And so I think the best route for people is just to go get information from an agency because they have the best information, or an adoption lawyer. You know, they can just really fill you in on all those details because part of their job is knowing all that stuff. That doesn't mean you have to hire them, but at least go speak with them because they're going to have the best information. But people are welcome. I'm sure I'll have you share my Instagram or Facebook. People can reach me there or my website and they can just email from there and I'm happy to answer any questions, adoption, infertility, photography, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And what is your actual Instagram and Facebook? Like, how would they be able to reach you?
So Instagram is Alessi Photo. Facebook is the same. And then my website is alessiphotography.com.
Perfect. Yeah, well, so. I appreciate you coming in last minute.
Yes, yes,
she found me off of, you know, the post I had. We had a cancellation, which, you know, I always make sure that I have one extra of a podcast to make sure if somebody does have to cancel. But it's great that, you know, the consistency of this podcast is really key to me. And
awesome.
Having you come on, I appreciate it. I also want to give, you know, Charity a big shout out because it is her networking event, you know, business, Boise
Business and bubbly.
There we go. Business and bubbly.
She's fabulous.
She's so great. Charity Majors.
Yeah. Last night was the first time I met her, so it was fun.
Yeah. So if you guys ever have questions about connecting with, you know, networks within the industry, I mean, and there's so many different people within walks of life. It's just, you know, you don't even have to have a job. If you're a mom, come connect with other people. Yeah. So definitely reach out to me at rawthoughts.com. Not rawthoughts.com, rawthoughts_podcast on my Instagram. Yeah. And you know, if you need a networking, if you need, you know, a group of gals, I go to Charity Majors. I also go to Hannah's Empowered Women Connect, which is
very cool.
Great as well. Very similar with that. So if you listeners, if you followers, you know, need a group to come into, definitely let me know. We'd love to have you. So Hannah, thank you again for coming on to the podcast. Yeah. And if anybody has any questions, definitely reach out and we'll see you next Wednesday. Thank you for tuning into the show today. Your feedback is very important to me. If you could leave a review as well as follow me on Instagram at rawthoughts.podcast and email in at m.rawthoughts@gmail.com if you have any guest suggestions.